Broadcasting live from the Goggin Cold Hall Studios.
30 seconds.
And now the act you've all been waiting for.
Now back to the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show.
I am the smartest man alive.
Call Johnny now at 844-5600.
Funny name for a guy.
20 years of sports coverage. This is Nashville's sports original.
Stop what you're doing. And listen,
WNSR 560 on 95.9 FM.
Here's Johnny.
Thunderstruck. Thunderstruck.
And welcome back to hour number two, 504. Johnny Ballpark Franks with you along with Jay Henson. Broadcasting out of the Goggin Cole Hall Studios, the coldest team in town, now offering great wages and benefits for drivers to join their winning team. For more information, you can go to their website, GogginCold.com. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, Will West joins us from Knoxville with Sports Radio WNML to talk Tennessee Vols. But right now, the man himself, David Basil, on the red carpet, the founder of the Frank Broyles Award. Chance to talk about that. The College Football Awards night tonight, Arkansas, and more. But first and foremost, David, welcome back to the show. Merry Christmas to you and your family.
Back at you, Johnny. Always good to talk to you. Yeah, a little crazy week, you know, with the Broyles Award on Tuesday. Joe Brady from LSU winning it. And then tonight you have the ESPN Home Depot College Football Awards show. And we have him here tonight as one of the, you know, many winners and, you know, that will be announced. But yeah, crazy week, all good. You know, things happening in Arkansas. And it's a crazy time, man. I'm ready for it to be calm here in about 4 or 5 days.
Well, certainly it's nice for Joe Brady to be there to enjoy his award, but at the same time, I think Joe Burrow is going to be a big award winner tonight as well. He's up for a few awards to not only to add to his trophy case already, but maybe to get the big one coming up on Saturday as well with the Heisman Trophy. But, you know, back to Joe Brady, how close was it this year? Was this one of the, you know, to me, I honestly didn't even have to guess. I kind of like felt like I could have etched this in already as far as on the trophy.
Yeah, you know, we had a great group of five finalists, and you know, and they all did a good job. You had Phil Snow at Baylor. You know, look what they did. They went from 1-11 to 11-1 in regular season in just, you know, 3 years. And Dan Lanning at Georgia had a perfect defensive season until they faced LSU. You look at Jeff Hafley at Ohio State. I mean, they've been, you know, just that, you know, nobody's, you know, moved the ball on them until Wisconsin just in the first half last week. And then Morgan Scalley over Utah. Again, same kind of deal. Had a great season defensively until the last game. But, yeah, when you look at what Joe Brady did, and, you know, you mentioned Joe Burrow's going to win the Heisman, which he did. I just spent the last hour with Joe Brady here, and we were talking. When he gave Johnny, he gave a clinic to about 20 LSU coaches. He was by himself. There were several New Orleans Saints assistants that had come. But for this particular deal, he was doing the RPO and sort of showing them what they had did, you know, obviously with Drew Brees. And I asked him, I said, can you imagine a year ago when you were up there and nobody knows who you are, you're doing a chalk talk with these 20 LSU coaches, all of them, Dave Aranda and Steve Ensminger, Coach O wasn't there at that time. But could you ever imagine a year later, you would not only be, you know, assistant coach of the year, but you would have taken a quarterback, the same quarterback, the same receivers, basically the same offensive line, that threw for 16 touchdowns and 5 interceptions and turn him into a quarterback that throws for 50 touchdowns and only one more interception. It is the most amazing thing I've ever seen. And, you know, he was talking about it was easy to coach great players. You know, my comment to that is, well, you know, he wasn't great, so you arrived and gave him the vehicle to be great. So it's an amazing story. He's very deserving, the youngest winner we've ever had. You know, it was Lincoln Riley, and now it's Joe Brady. It really impressive what he's done.
As far as you mentioned about Arkansas, you know, filling that spot, I was really hoping for Chad Morris. You know, I remember he actually joined me back in August. So here we are getting ready for a new season, and he was still pushing the Arkansas brand out there, and I really admired him for taking time out to do that. A lot of coaches, especially when it's not even in his state, still taking time out to do things along those lines. but it didn't work out. So talk about this next chapter.
Well, you know, funny, we were talking, I was talking to Joe Brady about Chad Morris. You know, in the coaching profession, nobody likes to see, you know, anybody get fired. And, you know, it was real simple, Johnny. It's real simple. And I really like Chad Morris. But let me tell you, you cannot lose. You cannot get blown out to Western Kentucky at home, your second year. You can't get blown out by, who else is it, Northern Texas last year. Yeah, you know, there were four non-conference in Colorado State, San Jose State. This year, San Jose State and Western Kentucky ran us out of our own stadium in Fayetteville. So, you know, I know it's only the second year, but you have good enough players to win those games, and that's what got him fired. And then you move forward. Nobody wanted this job, Johnny. Nobody. Lane Kiffin didn't want it. Drinkwitz at Missouri didn't want it. So here's a guy, you know, come to find out.
Gus didn't want it last year. So
Gus didn't want it. He got himself a big raise out of it. God bless him. But you got Sam Pittman over here, who grew up in Oklahoma. Used to come to the Lou Holtz football camps as a high school kid, junior high school kid. Knew about Arkansas, loved it. It was here with Bielema, bought land over on some of the lakes there in Hot Springs. And all this time, he wanted to get back here. And I actually know his agent. His agent's my personal attorney. And I had no idea that she had been lobbying Hunter Yurcich for this job. So all these folks who said no, finally it came time. And so will he be a winning head coach? I don't know, Johnny. But you know what? I want a guy who wants the job and who feels like he can win. He's a dynamic recruiter. Where this program went to the ditch, Johnny, is when he left Brett Bielema. And the offensive line, you know, we were 8-5 the last year before Sam Pittman left. And it's gone to hell in the handbasket since he left. So bring the guy back, let him hire some great assistant coaches. And let's see, listen, as a former player, Johnny, I'm ready to go up here and kick drink with his rear end. He passed on the job. And Lane Kiffin, that's fine. You didn't want this job, fine. We'll go kick your rear end, too. Now, it may not be this year, but hopefully this guy can get the job done.
David, you sound like you want to, like, suit back up again. I know it's been a few years, but it sounds like you want to get back out there.
Hey, that's the competitive nature in me to go, okay, that's fine. You know, just like Tom Brady being passed over others. You know, Arkansas has been viewed as not as attractive job. You can win at Arkansas. Bobby Petrino had him in the top five just, you know, 7 years ago. Used to not have had him in Atlanta twice. You know, I played for Lou Holtz. I played for Ken Hatfield. When we were in the top 10. It can be done.
You know, you think about Major League Baseball players, NFL players have that, you know, stipulation in their contracts. They can't ride on motorcycles. Can you imagine if Bobby Petrino had that in his contract at the time, how this could have played out differently at Arkansas?
Oh, listen, you know, the poor Arkansas fan base, Johnny, think what they've been through since then. It has just been a roller coaster of ups and downs and disappointments and, you know, golly, it's just, you know, we have lost 16 straight SEC games.
Look, they were the number three. People forget 2011, so earlier part of this decade, I know it was 8 years ago, but the end of November, the number three team, not only in the West, but the number three team in the country behind LSU and Alabama.
Yeah, how about that? Yeah. Oh, you know, you can't win at Arkansas. You can't win at Arkansas. That's what everybody says, and they're wrong.
I do like the fact that with Sam Pittman, though, here's a guy that has about, 11 different stops along the way as far as the FBS level, but more importantly, right, inside the SEC. Now, he was at Missouri before Missouri joined the SEC, but, you know, stops at Arkansas, Tennessee, Georgia. See, I think that kind of experience and that diversity and the things that he picked up here and there can certainly bode well. And you go back to the fact, too, he was a former high school coach as well.
Yeah, and he's already, let me tell you, the other thing about him, if you hadn't been around him much, Johnny, he's a dynamic personality. You know, anybody who's played the game and been around fun, big, large offensive line coaches, listen, he's put a ton of kids in the NFL. Matter of fact, I think his kid at Georgia just was announced as the Jacobs Award winner for the outstanding lineman in the conference. He's already got a four-star that was going to Georgia, that's already decided to change his mind and go to Arkansas. So his recruiting ability is also going to be something very important. As you mentioned earlier, very familiar with the SEC, Georgia, Tennessee. He knows the area, knows Oklahoma, knows Texas. Now the key is just putting together the best staff he can.
I will say this. I think this year moving forward, I mean, we already knew that this was a problem before for these coaches to find ways to get W's inside of, you know, in these conference games. I think that's going to become even more tougher moving forward.
Yeah, again, this is a very competitive, you know, conference, Donnie. That's why, listen, this is a big boy league. This is a big boy league with a lot of money. Although I don't know if you saw, speaking of money, I don't know if you saw the contract that Sam Pittman signed, one of the most different contracts you've ever seen. A lot of incentive-based, $3 million minimum, you know, base salary, and then incentives if he wins, you know, five, six, seven, eight games. And then a buyout structure that's based on winning and not losing. So if they have to fire him and he loses 50% of his games, he gets paid less, because we see what happened with Willie Taggart at FSU in a $20 million buyout. If anybody knows it, we've seen it at Arkansas with Chad Morris now with, what, $10, $11 million, and Brett Bielema before that. So, yeah, we'll see. Like I said, I think Razorback fans are sort of like Eric Musselman. Eric Musselman wasn't the first choice, but you know what? Fans are really loving what he's doing. And so I think, these sort of guys that aren't the number one really flashy, shiny coaches that everybody expects in the front end, but these guys may turn out to be okay after all.
All right, tell us about, I know you're used to these kind of events, so tell us about the tuxedo there on the red carpet. I mean, does it match your hair and everything? Are you representing Little Rock well?
Hey, there's no tuxedo for me. Listen, I just want to get through tonight.
Wait. No tuxedo for you tonight?
No.
I'm very disappointed.
It's always a great night, though. All the great players are here, all the great coaches. It's really a cool night to celebrate college football, what it's all about. Chris Fowler does a great job. Herb Street does, too. And you have, your championship coaches that are here getting ready for the playoffs. So it's a fun night. They used to do this down in Orlando for 15, 20 years, and they moved to the College Football Hall of Fame, which I think is a great setting. And, my gas tank is running low, Johnny. It's on empty. I just got to get to the finish line, brother.
Hey, David, thank you for taking time out with us. Enjoy your night. And once again, big happy holidays to you. Merry Christmas to you and your family. And looking forward to talking to you in the new year.
Same to you, Johnny. Thank you.
Thank you. David Basil, once again, talk show host, back in Little Rock at 103.7 The Buzz. Also the founder of the Frank Broyles Award, which is a great way to honor the former coach at Arkansas, AD. You probably remember him, too, as a college football analyst on the Saturday football games. And certainly a great way to honor Frank Broyles with this award. And, you know, as we mentioned, a lot of these, the winners of these awards for this particular award go on to become outstanding coaches as well. I mean, Kirby Smart. I mean, the list goes on and on of the guys that have won this before. All right, open phones coming up. Next segment, if you'd like to be a part of the show, 615-844-5600. Still coming up this hour, Will West will join us from Knoxville around 5:35. He is a talk show host over in Knoxville with Sports Radio WNML. Hey, before we go to break, I want to tell you about our friends with Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers. You know, it's that time of year where you might have some extra time on your hands, some time off, and a chance and an opportunity to spend more time with your friends and family, too. How about this? Under one roof, we're talking about a place with bowling, games, food, drink, and entertainment, and you can always keep up with your TVs located throughout as well. Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers, and with five centers in Middle Tennessee, there's a location near you. It's great for family reunions, holiday parties, and more. You can get more information. Just go online, strikeandsparebowling.com, and you can visit their locations in Donaldson Plaza, Murfreesboro, and the Tusculum area, as well as enjoying enhanced fun in Hendersonville and Hermitage, including bumper cars, Time Freak, and a laser maze. Hendersonville also with laser tag, roller skating, and an indoor bungee trampoline. All locations are open 7 days a week, including holidays. And remember, there's never a bad time for a good time at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers.
Good afternoon. We're looking at heavy traffic here, trying to escape from downtown on the South Loop, the West Loop, trying to get through this crazy construction out here on 440 eastbound here at West End, all the way past Hillsboro, applying 65 northbound at Harding Place, a crash involving injuries there south of town. That's near Armory as well. Again, T-Dot's rolling up on this wreck there on 65, again between Armory and Harding Place. And get the lowest prices on most of your airline tickets. SmartFare save you 70% off. Call 1-800-915-2644. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
I want you to listen to what is a very important message from my friends at Shield Law Group and my buddy Bill Kaloudis. Your credit report is really important. What if you've been the victim of identity theft, or you have an item on your credit that doesn't even belong to you, or you've been turned down for a mortgage, credit card, car loan, rental, housing, job, or insurance? Okay, you get the picture. The credit report is vital. You need it to be the very best it can be. And for a lot of us, we don't even know what our score is. So that's why I bring on ShieldLawGroup.com, my friend Bill Kaloudis, and his phone number, 615-742-8020. You know what? It might be the most important phone call you make all day. ShieldLawGroup.com and my friend Bill Kaloudis.
Bold statement. Saving money with GEICO is almost better than watching football. Think about it. When you're watching the game, yelling at the quarterback to throw the ball, throw it, Williams is wide open, why are you doing this to me? Use that rocket arm, come on! They don't listen to you. But if you went into a GEICO office and yelled, "Someone please help me save some money on car insurance," everyone would hop to it. Except the intern, because it's his first day and he doesn't even have a computer yet. See? Better. Switch and save with GEICO. It's almost better than sports.
Are you looking for the ideal destination for family fun? A place which combines the best of bowling, games, food, drink, and entertainment. Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers is the answer. Experience a great time with family, friends, and co-workers at Strike and Spare Family Entertainment. With five centers in Middle Tennessee, there's a location near you. Book your next party or event, from birthday parties to family reunions. Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers is also great for fundraising events and company parties as well. For more information, go online to strikeandsparebowling.com. Visit their locations in Donaldson Plaza, Murfreesboro, and the Tusculum area, as well as enjoying enhanced fun in Hendersonville and Hermitage, including bumper cars, Time Freak, and a laser maze. Hendersonville also has laser tag, roller skating, and an indoor bungee trampoline. All locations are open 7 days a week, including holidays. And remember, there's never a bad time for a good time at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR SkyCan forecast for this afternoon: mostly sunny with a high near 54. Tonight, a 20% chance of showers after 1 a.m. Mostly cloudy with a low around 36. And tomorrow, showers likely, cloudy with a high near 50. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's Jeff DeWitt.
Sports Radio WNSR.
Call the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show now, 615-844-5600.
Welcome back. Johnny Ballpark Franks with you, along with Jay Henson, broadcasting out of the Geigen Cole Hall Studios. 615-844-5600 if you'd like to be a part of the show this afternoon. 844-5600. If you could change back and reverse any kind of outcome this particular year for your favorite team, what would you want Santa to do for you as your gift, as your sports gift under your Christmas tree? Think about that one. Hey, by the way, just a reminder, no Saturday countdown to kickoff tailgate show like we always do after the conference championship games. We take the weekend between that and then when bowl season starts, and we bring you a special bowl edition of our countdown to kickoff tailgate show. That'll be coming up on Saturday morning on December 21st, so two Saturdays from now, from 9 a.m. to noon, as we look at not just the SEC, but all the Power Five and all the big matchups as far as the bowl season is concerned. 39 bowl games out there to talk about. Only one team that was eligible to play in a bowl this year. Only one team did not have that opportunity, and that was Toledo from the MAC. Missouri got the necessary wins, but if you recall, they lost their appeal as far as their bowl ban, so they were banned from appearing in a bowl game this year. But big thanks again to our sponsors making it possible for us to be with you each and every Saturday throughout the college football season. But thanks to Lanham's AC Service, your local Rube Pro partner, along with Penn Station East Coast Subs, real estate agent Richard Courtney, Ends Bank, Strike and Spare Family Entertainment, Casa of Nashville, along with the Klein Preston Law Group, Lindell Jewelers, our fine friends with Brinkman's Wine and Spirits, Raza Flooring, and Picasso Auto. Also, by the way, be listening starting next week. We'll be telling you where you can go to get, to register to even win tickets outright on that Saturday, December 21st, for the Franklin American Mortgage Music City Bowl as well. But once again, a special three-hour edition, 9 a.m. to noon, coming up on Saturday, December 21st, right here on Nashville Sports Radio. 615-844-5600, Husker Richie in Nashville. Welcome.
Johnny, I wanted to get your thoughts on the Alabama-Michigan game. A lot of talk after Alabama blown out by Clemson last year and this year being a weaker team this year than they were a year ago, for sure. A lot of talk, the dynasty's over, that kind of thing. And I think in the past, Harbaugh's he's been a big mouth, and he may have made some comments about the SEC or whatever. Do you think Alabama will be motivated to play in that game? Do you think any of that stuff matters? And will they have, will they want to win that game, or could they possibly not care?
Yeah, I was more concerned, honestly, if, say, Alabama had got matched up with, say, a Memphis. And no offense to Memphis, because they're a really solid football team, but they don't have the quote-unquote brand. Alabama, right. A brand. Michigan, a brand. Jim Harbaugh, big mouth. And these are kind of things that can motivate you from an Alabama perspective. And I have to be honest with you, I think that Alabama, first of all, after that loss, remember, I mean, people go, oh, it's a down year. They were 10-2 this year. The number one seed in the college football playoff, right, LSU, Bama lost with their quarterback on one leg, lost by 5 points. They outscored them in the second half, and it wasn't even close. So my point is, and then you lose to your rival in Auburn, where a kick attempt that had gone 3 inches to the right instead of where it hit would have ricocheted in, and we were probably looking at overtime in that game. So the bottom line is at 10-2. I mean, how many teams wish they could be what Alabama, Clemson, and Ohio State, what they have done since, say, the start of 2015? I mean, there's only five teams. I threw the winning percentage out yesterday. There's only like five teams with a winning percentage above 79% during that time frame, and Alabama is one of them. So, when you look at this decade, and yeah, it's disappointment. It's certainly there. But, you go back to 2013 when Bama loses on the kick six, didn't play for a national title, and then this year. That's it. Think about it. From 2011 to now, so nine seasons, seven of the nine, Bama either won a national title or were in that situation playing for a national championship. They played in the semifinals, we recall, in 2014. They lost to Ohio State. And then once again, they did not make the BCS, the last year of the BCS in 2013. They didn't make the playoff this year. But seven of the nine, they had a chance to win the national championship. Every program in the country would love to be able to say that. They'll find ways to get motivated, I think, for Michigan, though.
Well, no doubt, still a great program. However, injuries have taken their toll. They don't run the ball as well as they used to. And even if they were healthy, I think I saw from last year's defense against Clemson, they're just not as good on defense as they used to be. So not quite where they were, obviously not. Now, if they were in the playoff, could they beat Oklahoma? Yes. They could beat Oklahoma, but I wouldn't pick them to beat the other team.
Any program, you give me any program out there, Ohio State, Justin Fields in the backup, Georgia, Jake Fromm, backup, Joe Burrow, backup at LSU. If you take away the top two quarterbacks of any of these offenses in the country that produced all this offense, would their offenses be anything close to what they accomplished this year?
That's true.
This up because Alabama lost their two quarterbacks, per se, on defense before the season started. And I mean, Dylan Moses was their Tua Tagovailoa on defense. So when you lose, and so your two signal callers, your guys that are lining your defense up, they go down to injury before the season even starts. I mean, bam, bam, just like that. I mean, you can't just replace. Yeah, I mean, that's what, because most people don't keep up with the particular names on defense. So that's why I threw out names on the offenses. So when you throw out these big, the high profile quarterback names, and you take away the top two at that position for any of these teams that had great offenses, Equal that to the same thing as what Alabama went through on defense. There's a reason why Alabama led the country this year in freshmen starting games for them this season. More than no other team in the country started more freshmen than Alabama on the football field this year.
Well, true, but I mean, you still have to say a slight trend down. I mean, you'd have to say that, even with all that. And that backup quarterback they've got's a good player. He fouled up a little bit in the Auburn game, but he isn't.
But I mean it from the defensive standpoint. You can't replace that on defense, and that's what Bama lost at linebacker this year, and that's the problem. Sure. I still go back to two losses to LSU, the number one team. You lose by five, and then the other one, of course, was to Auburn in that situation where you lose by three. I mean, that's it. That's your two losses. So we'll see. I think that gives extra motivation to Nick Saban and Alabama. Remember, too, by the way, with a week to go, they're the number one team right now in the team rankings as far as recruiting is concerned going into this last week before National Signing Day next Wednesday.
Oh, I don't think the dynasty's over. If he coaches three more years, I think he's guaranteed to win it at least once, if not twice. I don't think it's over. It's just a little downtime right now. So
I think the more important question, though, for you, Husker Richie, is that, you know, we talk about the fact that there's 130 teams, right? 80 teams got the necessary wins of the 130. That means only 50 teams did not get necessary wins. Of the two that didn't are not able to participate, Missouri, once again, they got the bowl ban. Toledo, the only team that was 6-6 not bowling this year. I bring it up because that means out of why is Nebraska in that 50? How is that even possible?
We stink right now, Johnny. We stink. Now, let me say this. As I've said before, every junior and senior on that team this past year was a Mike Riley recruit, and they stink. We didn't have anybody drafted last year. We may not have anybody drafted this year. I do think you've got to give him 4 years. I don't think you can beat Ohio State and Wisconsin and Iowa with freshmen and sophomores. He's got to have 4 years, John. I really believe that. And it's possible the program is dead and he can't get it done, but you've got to give him 4 years. You've got to have some juniors and seniors on your team that you recruited, not the other guy who got fired.
I see. I'm not buying into that program is dead. I'm not accepting that. I'm just not going to do that.
Well, I hope it's not. I'm just saying it could be if we are still, winning four and five games the next year and the year after, they'll probably get rid of him. Maybe it is, but I think you got to give him 4 years to be sure.
Hey, we appreciate it. Have a great night, and thank you as always.
Thanks.
All right, buddy. All right, still coming up. Don't forget a chance to talk some Tennessee Vols. How about that, though? Nebraska, all those national championships, all those W's, they're in the same category as Vanderbilt, South Carolina, Rutgers, all these teams that are not bowl eligible this year.
I mean, that's just crazy to think about, and especially when you said Rutgers. That just kind of, ugh.
I know.
That just kind of threw me off for a minute. I'm thinking, wow.
Hey, I just saw this stat. You know, we talk about Dallas, the leading the NFC East there with a 6-7 record.
The mighty Cowboys.
Todd Archer had this stat from ESPN, and it's like really kind of mind-boggling when you think about it. I mean, here they are. Yeah, if you leave the 6-7 part and say, hey, the first place Dallas Cowboys, then this stat really sounds great. If you throw into the mix the 6-7 Dallas Cowboys team that also, by the way, lost to the New York Jets earlier this year. Although the Jets, winners of four out of their last five, you know, they're playing really good football right now. But here's the thing. For the first time, think about all the glory years for the Cowboys, right? For the first time in franchise history, the Cowboys have a 4,000-yard passer in Dak Prescott, a 1,000-yard rusher in Zeke Elliott, and a 1,000-yard receiver in Amari Cooper, and they're still 6-7.
That's just
never has happened.
You think
never
about Troy Aikman. You think about
Emmitt Smith, Michael Irvin. Yeah, it has never happened in franchise history until now. Now, here's the thing: if they finish strong, win these last three games, and then maybe win a game, they don't even have to win two; just win a playoff game.
Just one, yeah.
Then maybe it's like, okay, then you can like stomach that better. But I just saw that stat, and that just really kind of like, wow, that's a pretty cool stat. But then again, though, it's more reasons to go, why is this team, why are they 6-7? Why haven't they won more games?
And honestly, it makes me shrug my shoulders and think, what's it matter?
Good point. If you're not getting the W's, none of those stats do matter.
What's it
you're
matter?
Right. We talk about all these glorified stats by LSU's offense, and oh, by the way, they're the number one seed in the playoff, and Joe Burrow will probably win the Heisman Trophy coming up on Saturday night. All right, coming up, Will West. We'll talk SEC, Tennessee Vols, and more. He joins us from Knoxville with Sports Radio WNML. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.
Well, good afternoon. Still a major mess out here due to this crash on 65 northbound here up by Harding Place, between Armory and Harding Place. Again, trying to get up from Brentwood here on 65 northbound back into Nashville, just crawling along. Yes, it's heavy going southbound. That's a given. As you make your way down through there on 65 down through Williamson County, it's wrecking clear on 65 up there at Long Hollow Pike. Prince's Hot Chicken is the original hot chicken in Middle Tennessee. Check it out for dinner tonight, 5814 Nolensville Pike. I'm Commander Chuck, your on-time traffic.
My buddy James Warren is with me in studio, class of 1977, Battleground Academy, and owner of Sir Speedy, now Sir Speedy Music City. I know you've changed the name, but the service continues to be terrific.
We are the same people that you've come to love, and that's Sir Speedy Berry Hill is now Sir Speedy Music City. We did that just to be a part of the community that we're in and show our love for Music City. Even though we go all over the Southeast, we do most of our business here, and we love this city.
Phone number and the website.
615-832-9511 or SirSpeedyMusicCity.com.
Who was the company that heard the ad?
Donut Distillery over in East Nashville heard the ad and said, if you know George, then we'll do business with you.
Boy, that is scary. But here's the bottom line. You go in and see them, and when you do, you tell them Plaz sent you.
Whether having heating concerns during the cold winter months or looking to cool off those hot summer days, nobody in Middle Tennessee is better equipped to serve your needs than Lanham's AC Service, your local Rude Pro partner. From heating and cooling issues to water heaters, you can count on Lanham's AC Service and Rude HVAC equipment with a system that fits your unique needs while doing it right the first time. Serving the area for over 30 years, owner Brian Eskew and his team are dedicated to providing the best possible solutions for your home or business while providing reliable and honest service for Nashville and Middle Tennessee. And they do it with the name brands like Rude you have come to trust. I should know, I have a new Rude in my house and have been a customer for almost a decade. And remember, financing is available and they service and repair all brands. So call today to schedule a service or maintenance call, 615-969-9065. That's 969-9065. Or go to lanhamsacservice.com.
Are you one of those people who thinks it's okay to drive stoned? I mean, what's the worst that can happen? You end up driving below the speed limit? It's no big deal, right? Wrong. The truth is, your reaction times slow way down when you're high. You not only put yourself in danger, but everyone around you. Talk about a buzzkill. Stop kidding yourself. It's not okay to drive high. If you've been using marijuana in any form, do not get behind the wheel. If you feel different, you drive different. Drive high, get a DUI. Paid for by NHTSA.
This is the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show, every weekday afternoon on Nashville Sports Radio.
Welcome back. Johnny Ballpark Franks with you, broadcasting out of the Goggin Cole Hall Studios. We'll be with you tonight until 7. Coming up at 6:05, Doug Segrist, formerly with the Nashville Banner back in the day when Nashville had not one but two newspapers, now a co-host on the TV show The Zone in Birmingham on ABC 3340, talking SEC. And then at 6:35, our good buddy Barry Wilner, not just any pro football writer, he is the pro football writer. I mean, when we get the MVP at the end of the year for the NFL, he is the guy that counts the votes. That's how important this guy is. Barry Wilner with the AP in New York will be joining us at 6:35 tonight. But right now, speaking of important individuals, Will West joins us right now from Knoxville with Sports Radio WNML. See how I went there with that, Will? See how I went there? Do you like that?
I appreciate that. Yeah, I appreciate the kind words, man. How are you?
I'm good. How about yourself?
Doing very well. Thank you.
All right, what were you thinking on Sunday? Honestly, I was having this conversation with Scott Ramsey on Tuesday, the president and CEO of the Franklin American Mortgage Music City Bowl. I was talking to him about it. I, as somebody who used to work in athletics, I thought this was a very bad look. It wasn't like this college football playoff committee really did a great job of ranking the top 25 anyway. They debated who was number one, and they debated which team was going to be playing and representing the group of five. And that's it, because if you look at their other rankings, they did a horrible job. And so, but the problem is they delayed this so long in this made-for-TV event with the four teams being released and the breakdown of all four teams, that because they allowed it to linger as far as the matchups, releasing the top 25 before they started releasing the other bowl arrangements, just so much negativity that was out there on social media on Sunday. I thought it was a bad look for college football. I thought it was a bad look for the fan base of Tennessee. There's a lot of egg on the face after Sunday.
Yeah, it's so I'll just tell you, I think that this is what I believe based on speaking to people that were around the situation. I believe that that Tennessee had an agreement in place that they were going to be at the Music City Bowl where they get Louisville. And I believe that there were two very large boosters who raised utter heck about that, that why are we not going to – they wanted to be in Florida because that's where the bowl trip that they wanted to go into. And they raised heck about that. And so Fulmer went back and said, hey, sorry, this the deal we worked out doesn't work for us. And so that's kind of, he pulled a Doug Dickey, right? It's something that Coach Dickey used to do a lot around here was to finish. He wanted something. He would pound the table until he got what he wanted. I do think that Coach Fulmer said, hey, look, normally we would be able to choose the bowl we want to go to, especially if we're the first choice of the bowl. They'd agreed to do the thing that would sell the most tickets, which is get Kentucky versus Indiana in the Gator Bowl, Tennessee against Louisville in the Music City Bowl. And that game, the Music City Bowl, sells out. You still sell a ton of tickets to the Gator Bowl. And it is what it is with Virginia Tech and Mississippi State. And I do believe that a couple of boosters really, really, really leaned on the university hard. And they ended up saying, okay, hey, no, I know that we had verbally agreed on this deal, but we want to go to the bowl game that we were normally would have been slotted to go to.
Well, I understand that these boosters and what a great job they do, especially when they're involved in the hiring process, when there's vacancies. They do realize this is Jacksonville, right? It's not like it's lower part where they're going to get balmy weather. I mean, it gets cold this time of year in the north part of Florida. I hope they understand that.
Well, I do think that, and one of the big problems that Tennessee has is you have boosters who look at things the way that they used to be, right? That, you know, they didn't want Kyle Whittingham because he's coming from Utah. Then we'll go get the guy that worked with Saban. They didn't want, you had a booster that was emailing and sending messages to John Curry saying, why would we try to go hire Dan Mullen? Look at his career record, not realizing what Mississippi State was before Dan Mullen got there. So that's one of those things that I think has been a big, frankly, the disease for Tennessee has been the boosters are not in touch with current day and age college football. And I think this is one of those things. I think that they didn't realize, if I'm just being honest, that the Music City Bowl, the Tax Slayer Bowl, Liberty Bowl, Belk Bowl are kind of all on the same tier now, whereas the Gator Bowl used to be kind of a step above
right.
The bowl in Charlotte, the bowl in Nashville, and things like that. I just don't think that they're aware of the changes that happen with the bowl system because they don't really pay attention to what's going on in football day in, day out, yet they have the type of say that would dictate that you probably should be educated day in, day out on what's going on.
Well, especially when you try to throw your influence around, and this goes back to what we've been talking about for several years now. When if it comes down to important things, important decisions that have to be made about this athletics program, especially football, this is the kind of thinking that's involved behind this decision making. And there are always these faceless individuals that have no accountability, no blame whatsoever when things don't go right.
No, absolutely, right? They just walk away from it and they cut a bigger check the next time. So they just cut the check that's going to pay off for everything. So that's about it. I mean, that's kind of what they do is, you know, you're right. They have big say in the matter, tons of big egos about this. They've cut a big check. Tennessee has a lot of those guys. And I do think that's one of the problems that Tennessee's had. Tennessee's boosters are really, really good. There are just so many of them that you have to split the baby in half so many different times that by the time you've appeased everyone in the room, you end up with some, I don't know, abomination of a decision that you would have made had you just had one person in the room. It's the biggest strength that Philip Fulmer has, I think, and because I don't think since Doug Dickey has been here have you had an athletics director that the boosters will just get out of the way and let him do his job for the most part. I do think for the most part they will allow Philip Fulmer to do that. this is a little bit of an exception to it.
I just go back to this team when they were 1-4, a team that lost to Georgia State, lost to BYU, 1-4. Yeah, they rallied to get to 7-5, but the bottom line is they're 7-5. You know, it kind of reminds me of that, you know, that kid that gets a card from his grandma. I used this analogy earlier this week. Gets that card from the grandmother who's on a fixed income. She sends, you know, $5 or $10, and the kid goes, doesn't even read the card where it says, I love you, grandson, whatever. Just tosses the card, go, $10. What the heck? What, this will do nothing for me. And instead of being thankful that they're bowl eligible, that they're going anywhere, all this backlash, we deserve better. That's just pure nonsense to me. And you know, honestly, if there's payback in the whole world of college football, they'll get spanked big time in the Gator Bowl.
Possibly. Now let's see what Indiana. I think Tennessee can probably go out and just out athlete Indiana at the end of the day. I think they're a well coached team. Indiana is. Tennessee has been able to just go out and out athlete teams towards the end of the schedule, and I think that they probably do the same thing against Indiana at the end of the day. That's one thing that has kind of always been head scratching around here is how can Tennessee not beat these teams where this team has, you know, 13, 4 or 5 star players. Period on their roster, and the rest are 3 and 2 star, and Tennessee sitting with 45, 4 and 5 star players in the roster, yet they can't seem to beat them. That's one of the things I think that Tennessee has done under Jeremy Pruitt right now is their athletes go win their individual battles out there on the field, and now that they're limiting mistakes, that they get the win. So I do think this is going to be a win against Tennessee, against Indiana. Frankly, I do think it may even be a better matchup for Tennessee than Louisville would have been. Scott Satterfield can coach, man. So that was not a matchup I think the Tennessee people were looking forward to having to face to go with either, was having to face Scott Satterfield. So it would have been probably more interesting had Michael Penix, you know, not gotten injured earlier this year, because he was a guy that wanted to come to Tennessee, and Tyson Helton didn't want him. He wanted instead JT Shrout. Now Michael Penix is the starting quarterback in the Big Ten, and JT Shrout, who knows if he transfers or not this year, but it looks like he's going to be number 4 on the depth chart next season. And nothing against JT Shroud. He just probably needs to be at like a little bit of a lower level until he learns to kind of hit the underneath passes. But that would have been a kind of an interesting storyline there. But I do think that when I look at the wins versus losses, I think Indiana's a really well-coached team. I think that Tennessee probably out-athletes them in this game.
And I'm not going to disagree with you from that standpoint, all the things that you brought up. But, you know, bowl games are obviously very different than, say, the regular season. And we don't know what the motivation is going to be. We don't know how fired up teams are going to be. I mean, I give you a great example. Look at last year's Music City Bowl. You know, everybody just thought Purdue was going to have their way with Auburn. And boy, that was a shocker and a surprise with the way Auburn just was scoring every second, it seemed like, against Purdue. But no, from what I was talking about, just from a humbling experience with that attitude, they would deserve something like that where Indiana takes care of business.
Oh, yeah, the boosters probably would. I would say for these kids, I mean, these kids don't care. They just want to go play. You know what I mean? Like, so at the end of the day for them, I don't even think the coaches really cared a whole lot about where the next opponent was. But and I would say of the, you know, 6-7 really big boosters that Tennessee has, from what I'm told, it was 2 of them, and one of them was very, very, very loud about it. And that booster maybe cut a big check this year, and so that's why Tennessee went back and said, okay, hey. But it's also the reason why, for anybody out there that likes to go to the window, there's a reason why those 3 bowl games that the line wasn't out either, was because Tennessee's boosters kind of came in and blew that up as well. So it did make a lot of people upset. It kind of upset the apple cart a little bit for just about everybody. And also, I don't know if you read the Ovid piece today at The Athletic, where you had a number of Tennessee fans that when they found that when the reports came out, went ahead and bought hotel rooms and tickets to the Music City Bowl.
Right.
That they are now stuck with, and they're going to get back, you know, far less money on this thing.
Oh, absolutely. Having a chance once again to visit with Will S., maybe the booster will refund them their money. Since he's got all that money throwing around, and just, you know, help them out, you know, just to show, like, you know, that he's a real Tennessee Vols. I mean, that's what we should. All right, what does the Juwan Jennings suspension mean for the Vols, especially in the first half?
Not a whole lot. I don't think Tennessee. I don't think they liked it. I don't think that they
deserved it. They deserved it.
You can't. There's no question. You can't allow that whatsoever. You can't have that happen.
Is that a bad look? Is that a bad look? I mean, I know everybody wants to play it close to the vest in Knoxville because they don't want to offend anybody associated with that football program. But the reality is, to me, it is certainly he deserved it. But it's a bad look, the fact that Phil Fulmer and that athletics program don't understand that.
Well, I think that the current playoff that he didn't mean to do it. So that's what I think is going on there. And I think they thought that something should have happened at the time instead of later for Juwan. And I look, at the end of the day, you can't have a guy stepping on a guy's face. You can't have that. And there's no deniability once Juwan's over top of him, once they've slid out of bounds in the rain, and he's over top of him over the top of him with his hands on him, you know, jawing into his face. Then when he gets up and that happens, he has no deniability, in my opinion.
All right, look, it's like the Egg Bowl. In the Ole Miss game versus Mississippi State, when he scored the touchdown, he knew he was going to get down on his knees in that end zone and pretend he's a dog and urinating, right? That whole, he didn't mean to do it, wasn't thinking about do it, doesn't mean anything to me because he did it. You know, I don't care what his intentions were. It wasn't like before the game as he was suiting up. You know, when I have the opportunity late in the ball game, if we're cruising because we've lost three times in a row to Vanderbilt, I am going to find the opportunity to stomp on the face of one of the Vanderbilt Commodores. That's not what your thinking is. But the reality is, I don't know what your intentions are. The bottom line is he did it. You know, it wasn't like he was just stomping to be stomping. It wasn't like he was in step show. He was stomping to stomp on the Vanderbilt player.
Well, I do think that intent matters there, because if you accidentally step on a guy, like, that's one thing. And if they call, the SEC calls Tennessee, and or somebody from Tennessee asks Juwan, the first thing he says is, I cannot believe I did that. Totally didn't mean to do it. I apologize. Is he okay? I want to reach out and make sure that he's okay. If there was any other response than that, then you have to presume that he intended to do it, right? And if he intended to do it, frankly, I don't know that a half is good enough at the end of the day. So I said I would have just said you're done, right? I would have had that conversation, did you mean to do it? If there was anything other than full denial and heartfelt apology, I would have just said you can go do your college, you're done in college football, and you can go do whatever you want to in the National Football League, but you're done here.
And, you know, but he didn't feel bad enough to pretend he's Peyton Manning and go up and lead the band at the end of the game.
Yeah, no, it absolutely, absolutely. I agree with you there.
All right, so other things that you're watching out for. The most important thing, we always talk about these teams that are bowl eligible, is the extra practice time. And when you're looking up and you see Georgia and Florida in your division, you know, these are key opportunities just to get better, especially the younger players. Because, you know, it's almost like having an additional spring practice, for example.
Yeah, no, it is. I mean, it helps out. Now, you know, what's interesting is Hyams pulled this, the numbers. For Tennessee specifically, having the extra bowl practices hasn't necessarily meant more success the next year. But I think there's so many young guys here that long-term this is going to have a lot of success for them. And I do think, considering, you know, almost half the season the culture here was just terrible, I think it's a very, very, very good thing for Tennessee to be to have these practices where the culture is going as well as it is. And so that, to me, is just absolutely huge. And I think it will be very good for Tennessee next year, especially because you won't have Daniel Batuli lining everybody up in position every time. You won't have Trey Smith, who's going to be their guard, that's going to be that solidifying force, showing the freshman tackle on one side what he needs to do. And we don't know what Brandon Kennedy, what's going to happen there. So him not being there and somebody else working at center, it'll be good to have somebody else working there with the number of injuries that Brandon Kennedy's had. So I do think that these things are beneficial for Tennessee to get these practices in. Josh Palmer, getting him extra work. Good work for the other receivers that are out there, especially knowing that Juwan Jennings is suspended. Marcus Callaway and Jennings aren't going to be there next year. And think about what an enormous load of the offense that they shouldered, during this whole season. So that's a lot of it for Tennessee, is I think getting more young guys more work, and maybe the guys that are coming back more work, so these young guys that haven't got first-team reps all season.
In 60 seconds, if you can nail it in 60 seconds, why was the culture so bad for the first half of the season?
I don't think that they like each other at the end of the day. Like, I just don't. I don't think that the coach, I don't think the players trusted the coaches. I don't think the coaches knew, had a relationship with the players. I also think Tennessee had they have a full staff of butt kickers outside of maybe one guy. And you can have a butt kicker or two, but you need somebody who's going to be good cop as well. And Tennessee had one good cop, and the rest of the staff's bad cop. And that is tough. It's tough for guys to win. Well, eventually you allowed players to be the ones that kind of policed what was going on the sidelines. So it wasn't everybody kicking and screaming and yelling at everyone. And Juwan Jennings and Trey Smith were the guys that stepped up in that situation, and Daniel Batuli. And that's what made the culture get so much better, was the players being empowered and taking it on themselves to be the leaders there.
Mr. Man of Reason himself from Knoxville, Will West. If you're not doing so, you can follow Will on Twitter at Will West, WNML. Once again, a co-host on Knoxville Sports Radio, WNML. We appreciate you as always. Have a great rest of the week. We'll look forward to talking to you soon.
All right. Hey, love, Johnny. I appreciate it, man.
All right. Thank you again. That's Will West joining us. This segment brought to you by friends with Lanham's AC Service. You know, whether we're talking about heating issues during the winter months or trying to find ways to cool off those hot summer days, and even with water heaters, too. Here's the thing. Nobody in Middle Tennessee better equipped to serve your needs than Lanham's AC Service, your local Rood Pro partner. And they do it with Rood HVAC equipment, with a system that fits your unique needs while doing it right the first time. You know, they've been serving the area for over 30 years. Owner Brian Eskew and his team, they're dedicated to providing the best possible solutions for your home or business. And look, they do it with the name brands like Rood you have come to trust. I should know, I have not one but two Rood units in my house. And plus, I've been a loyal customer of Lanham's AC Service now for almost a decade. You'll notice the difference. And here's the other part, too. Remember, financing is available, and they service and repair all brands. So call today to schedule a service or maintenance call, 615-969-9065. That's 969-9065. Let them know your friends here at Nashville Sports Radio sent you, or you can get more information by going online at lanhamsacservice.com.
Well, good afternoon. Still a major mess out here due to this crash on 65 northbound here up by Harding Place, between Armory and Harding Place. Again, trying to get up from Brentwood here on 65 northbound back into Nashville, just crawling along. Yes, it's heavy going southbound. That's a given. As you make your way down through there on 65 down through Williamson County, it's wrecked and cleared on 65 up there at Long Hollow Pike. Prince's Hot Chicken is the original hot chicken in Middle Tennessee. Check it out for dinner tonight, 5814 Nolensville Pike. I'm Commander Chuck, your on-time traffic.
Winter's coming.
Winter is coming.
Winter is coming.
Coming this Christmas, a man.
Hey, Bill King here.
His listeners.
Robin the 210.
And biscuits.
I don't know if we realize how fortunate we are to have Music City Todd. That is a world-class facility.
Winter is coming.
Commitmas 2019. Wednesday, December 18th at Bar Line in the Omni Nashville Hotel. Fifth Avenue South, downtown Nashville.
We appreciate you. Appreciate WNSR.
Join the Bill King Show and celebrate National Signing Day.
Oh, my God. Bill King just read my tweet.
For more info and Commitmas gear, log on to WNSR.com and get your special Commitmas rate at the Omni Nashville Hotel. Commitmas 2019 from the Omni Nashville Hotel, the Bill King Show, and WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
Winter is coming.
This is Brett Musburger's Action Update for WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio. With Indeed, you can post a job in minutes, set up screener questions, then zero in on candidates in an online dashboard at Indeed.com/hire. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
The college football FCS playoffs down to just 8 teams of the 4 games this weekend, 3 taking place on Friday night. James Madison, 20-point favorites at home against Northern Iowa. Montana State, 6.5-point favorites at home against Austin Peay. And then Montana, a road favorite as they go to Weber State, favored by 2.5. And then coming up on Saturday, North Dakota State sitting as 23.5-point favorites over Illinois State. Army-Navy on Saturday as well. Navy favored by 10.5.
For the latest odds all the time, visit VSiN.com. I'm Matt Pauly. This has been your Action Update on Nashville Sports Radio.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
You've messed up your daughter's haircut. Do you A, get spiritual?
Mom, where's the mirror?
Beauty is within. Oh.
B, find the positives.
Less time blow drying, more time texting?
Or C, show empathy.
Mom, you really don't have
twinsies.
I kind of love it.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on adoption, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
This is Johnny Ballpark Franks inviting you to join me Saturday, December 21st from 9 a.m. to noon for a special bowl edition of the Countdown to Kickoff Tailgate Show. Brought to you by Lanham's AC Service, your local Roof Pro partner, Penn Station East Coast Subs, real estate agent Richard Courtney, Enns Bank, Strike and Spare Family Entertainment, Casa of Nashville, Fine Preston Law Group, Lindell Jewelers, Bringman's Wine and Spirits, Braza Flooring, and Picasso Auto. That's Saturday morning, December 21st at 9 on Nashville Sports Radio.
Take Johnny Ballpark Franks on the go by downloading the WNSR app. Search your app store for Nashville Sports Radio.
And welcome back. Johnny Ballpark Franks with you along with Jay Henson, broadcasting out of the Goggin Coe Hall Studios. Another hour to go. Coming up in hour number three, we'll talk some SEC, looking at the bowl matchups involving teams from the Southeastern Conference. Doug Segrist out of Birmingham. The TV show is The Zone on ABC 3340. Also at 6:35, Barry Wilner, the pro football writer with the Associated Press in New York. We'll talk week 15 of the NFL stretch run starting tonight as Baltimore plays host to the New York Jets. The Jets, a 16.5 to 17 point underdog. I like the Jets and the points in this one. They've won four out of their last five. I think Baltimore is going to win the game, but I think the Jets can at least keep it halfway close. 2 hours in, another hour to go. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.